I'd like to change the agenda a little bit. Let's address item 4.1 first, introduce our new TAC member.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, all of you. I have the pleasure of introducing our newest community committee member, Nolan Chen.
Hello.
Hi, Nolan. Nolan was appointed by the City Council last month. It was actually Nolan and Bill Hurley. Bill is out of town this week. But Nolan is our newest committee member. I've met with him this week. He has, all of you can see, he has his orientation binder with all the good info on the Transportation Advisory Committee. So I thought maybe we would just go around and introduce ourselves so Nolan can put the names with the faces.
That's right, yeah. So I'm Min Cao. Yeah.
Hi, Min.
Yeah, I'm the chair of this committee for this year.
I'm Atul Patel. I'm the vice chair for this year.
I'm Al Pacheco. I'm just
Al Pacheco. You're the chamber rep.
I'm the chamber.
You're just Al Pacheco.
You're the chamber rep.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I'm Bob DuPont.
I'm Bob.
And we still have Joy is going to join later.
Yes, yes. I think Joy will be joining us. And then also, if I may, hi, Susan. I'd like to also introduce to all of the committee members Debbie Hintz. Debbie Hintz is our office specialist in engineering. Debbie is going to be with us probably for the next 4 or 5 months as Amy starts off and on another new adventure in her life. She'll be out beginning July 13th, and then she'll be back in December. So Debbie will be joining us for the next few months.
Couldn't take it anymore.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Joy, we just introduced our newest committee member, Nolan Chen.
Nice to meet you.
And then Susan is our representative from the Senior Advisory Committee. Do you want to sit up at the table, Susan? You okay?
Yeah, sure. All right. Item number 2, review and approval of the meeting minutes from last month. So any comments, corrections from the minutes? Okay, second. Move a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The meeting minutes has passed. Now, item number 3, public comments. I do have one card here. Mr. Sam Sotelo. Excuse me if I pronounce your name right.
No, that's okay. That's very good, actually. Sam Sotelo. Yeah. With Mobility Matters. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of our organization before. We are a nonprofit organization, and we are handling a lot of transportation needs here in Contra Costa County. Mm-hmm. We actually do. We actually do transportation guides for the county, which you can look at here. And they go through city by city, and they do a breakdown of every public transportation and some private transportation companies that are available. So if you look at San Ramon, for instance, it'll tell you, you know, County Connection, and it gives you like their phone numbers and their websites so you can look up their routes and everything like that. But two of the main things that I'm here to address today is two of our volunteer driver programs. And what is a volunteer driver program? We have a Rides for Seniors program, and we have a Rides for Veterans program. And what this is for seniors, and we have a lot of like World War II veterans and stuff in the area that can no longer drive themselves. So we ask the community to kind of step up and give them a ride to a doctor's appointment, dentist appointment, or even grocery shopping. It's considered a necessity of life. If you guys want to look through these two, these programs are available to everybody in Contra Costa County. I actually met Susan the other day at the Senior Center. I know you got a lot of this information already. There's some of these down here too.
Thank you.
I'll leave a whole stack of these. Rights for Veterans programs as well, yeah. And if you guys want any of this information, I have it in bulk. We can put it out. I actually walked in and I saw a little turnstile down there with other transportation information in it. If you guys want, I can get you a box and you guys can put all of this information out. It is available to anybody in the community.
Has this been sent to the Senior Center?
We might probably need some more in the center.
Oh, I just gave her a couple of stacks the other day.
We ran out already.
They go fast. Our services are very popular. We have more clients than we do volunteers is one of the things I wanted to reach out to today, too. If you guys know any organizations in the area or any but individuals that might be interested in being a volunteer. It's a really simple process to be a volunteer driver, and if you can help one person a month, you can make a difference in somebody's life.
So what's the process? They just call the number and then...
So if they want to be a volunteer, if they want to be a client.
A client.
Okay, if you need to be a client, basically... this is the Rights for Veterans one. They're a little different. For the Rights for Veterans one, they need to be like an honorably discharged veteran. The age doesn't matter. But for the Rides for Seniors one, you need to be over the age of 60. You need to live in Contra Costa County. You need to be at least semi-ambulatory. What that means is most cars can't transport wheelchairs or, you know, any gurney transports or anything like that. So you need to be at least able to walk with a walker to an extent. And that's usually 90% of our clients have some type of aid. They are semi-ambulatory, meaning that they have a walker. So we take them grocery shopping because if you've ever tried to walk with a walker and load groceries and all that, that's what we're there for. And we offer door-through-door service, too. We're not like a taxi cab. We don't just drop you off at the curb and go shopping. We'll be out here waiting for you. We actually go in. We build a relationship with these seniors and these veterans in the community. And we help them with their life, things that they can't do by themselves. We step in, and I have actually a lot of different other organizations that I work with. We have a lot of these veterans, their houses are falling apart, you know, their rails are falling off, and especially when they have balance issues, we'll actually call. I'm with the Disabled American Veterans, I'm with the Delta Veterans Group. I'm actually working, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the East Bay Stand Down that the Vietnam veterans of Diablo Valley are doing. I'm in charge of transportation for the Stand Down. So I schedule all the buses and everything like that. So I'm actually a disabled veteran myself. I started this Rides for Veterans program a year ago, and then they put me in charge of the Rides for Seniors program too. So I'm just reaching out to the community and letting them know that these programs are available and letting them know that we need volunteers too. So do you guys know anybody that can even help out once a week?
How do you get your funding? Because it's free.
Contra Costa grants us a small amount of money.
Yeah,
so if
I think
you open
the Transportation
up,
Authority yep. funds some of their programs.
If you look right here, partially funded with Contra Costa County Livable Communities Trust Fund.
Right.
And then we get a little bit of money from the Trans Pack and a little bit from, so wherever we can get a grant, you know. Fortunately for me, my CEO is a phenomenal grant writer, and she does a good job with that. And I'm in charge of developing the programs, letting the communities know about them.
Yeah, she's very active in Contra Costa County. She attends, I could picture her. Her name is Elaine.
Yep.
Right. She's
very,
very
active.
Yes. And so I know that our senior center, you presented to our senior center, and our senior center staff to provide them with the information as well.
I just was there a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I'm sure she's been there as well before.
Right.
I've only been with them for a year.
Okay, good.
I just finished developing the first year of the Rides for Veterans program. We have over 60 volunteers now servicing over 200 veterans on a regular basis. So now that I've got that program, she's kind of giving me a little bit of promotion. Now I'm in charge of a little bit wider development. And it's not about me, though. It's about the programs and making sure you guys are familiar with those and that they're available to anybody who needs them.
Right.
Have you presented to Sandals of Freedom? Mike Conklin?
Mike Conklin, absolutely, I have.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to his crab feed and I did. I've done quite a bit with Mike Conklin and John Reese and all the Vietnam vets. I work with them. Yeah, regularly. I was with them before because, like I said, I'm a disabled veteran myself, so I've been in the DAV for years and years, and the VFW, and
thanks for your service.
You guys all, thank you.
Thank
proud
you.
To be an American. You know, the freedoms that we have, we take for granted.
Yeah.
It's
all
an
right.
awesome country. So you guys all have my card. Feel free to email me if you want mass of any of these materials to hand out to anybody. I'm going to leave the rest of those there.
Leave some here.
Hope you don't mind.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You want me to go ahead and step out now? I'm sure you guys have a meeting.
You're welcome to attend the meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Let's moving along. Item 4.2, Measure J, Traffic Congestion Relief Agency. Lisa?
Yes. Well, thank you. Good evening. So the item before you this evening is a very brief update on where we are with respect to the Measure J Traffic Congestion Relief Agency, or as most of you know it, it's called TRAFICS. So just a very brief background. In September, we will have the new TRAFICS admin coordinator attend the TAC meeting and that individual will provide you with a comprehensive background on the traffics program, how it got started, when it was started, how the routes were developed. I'm really here this evening just to provide you with a brief update on where we are with respect to the administration and the coordination of the program administration. So traffics is funded by Measure J, the traffic congestion, it's a traffic congestion relief agency funded by Measure J. Measure J is the countywide transportation half-cent sales tax program. The funds became available in 2009, but prior to 2009, the city, the town of Danville, the Santa Maria Valley School District, and Contra Costa County worked on developing a program that would reduce traffic congestion throughout the Santa Maria Valley. At that time, we didn't know what the program would look like, but over the course of time and doing traffic congestion studies and a valley-wide study to determine whether or not parents would be interested in a traffic congestion relief program, at the end of the day, it was the direction by the board was to develop a school bus program. And the school bus program would not be operated by the school district, and it would not be your traditional home-to-school bus transportation program. What it would be a traffic congestion relief program. So the focus is to, at that time, now keep in mind this was in 2009. Lots have changed since 2009. But the studies that were done in 2007, 2008 looked at the entire Santa Maria Valley, and we concentrated on those areas of the Santa Maria Valley where we experienced significant traffic congestion. So here in Santa Maria, South Santa Maria, because Dodery Valley was barely developed at that time. So the traffic congestion issues that we experienced here in Santa Maria were in and around South Santa Maria school sites. In Danville, they were along the Green Valley Corridor. So the agency formed a joint powers authority. So we have an official joint powers authority. It's made up of 7 board members. The city of Santa Maria has 2 council members assigned to the board. Danville has 2. School district, 2 members, and then Contra Costa County Supervisor Anderson represents the county on the JPA. So since 2009, when the program actually rolled out the very first buses to the school sites, the program has grown over the years. So today, we have 22 school buses providing service to 11 school sites throughout the Santa Maria Valley, transporting about 1,750 kids. And the schools that we serve here in Santa Maria are Pine Valley, Walt Disney, Neil Armstrong, Country Club, and then we started service 2 years ago at Coyote Creek. Since the program has started, the JPA has contracted all of the services. So rather than add staff to those 4 public agencies, everything has been contracted out. So it's a formal JPA. It's completely separate from Santa Maria and from the town of Danville. Those 7 board members provide the input, the feedback. They adopt resolutions. They adopt an annual budget. They hire the service provider, which is First Student. And they've also hired, over the years, a contract program manager. And that contract program manager's role has been to provide the day-to-day program implementation and coordinate with First Student, which is the school bus provider. But because that position has been a contract position, since 2009 we've had 4 contractors providing that oversight. So with any program, that amount of turnover, the program implementation and the administration has been very inconsistent the last 8 years. So this past January, the current program manager decided not to renew the contract with Traffics. Traffics then went out to the 4 agencies that are members of the JPA and asked those agencies whether or not they would consider bringing that person in-house for a limited term and fully fund it with Measure J or the Traffics funding. So Santa Maria is the agency that's been selected to provide the admin support for Traffics for the next 2 years. We have taken, there are 2 things that we've done here at the city. We forward the formal request from Traffics to our city council in May. We have the council adopt an employee classification and add that to the city's organizational structure. That classification is an administrative coordinator that would oversee the Traffics program, and it is on a limited term, and it is fully funded by Traffics. So the second thing that the San Ramon City Council did is this past June, San Ramon Council agreed to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Traffic's Board of Directors. So that MOU has been approved by the San Ramon City Council, is going to the Traffic's Board in July, and the MOU is very clear. It stipulates the program implementation, what the role and responsibilities are of the Traffic's Admin Coordinator, the role of the Traffic's program, the role of First Student, and then more importantly to the San Ramon City Council, who's going to fund the position and how do we get funding. So it is fully funded. I mean, Measure J is a program that's in place until 2034. So the program has funding. There is, San Ramon is providing some in-kind services. We're providing an office. But essentially everything from the desktop computer to letterhead, paper, all of that will be provided by the Traffic's program. Really what will happen is that the San Ramon staff, including myself, will provide the day-to-day management and oversight of this individual and then reporting to the Traffic's Board of Directors and the Traffic's Technical Advisory Committee members. So San Ramon, we have embarked on a hiring process. We've announced the position. We've held an oral board. We actually received up to 50 applications. We brought in 7 individuals for an interview. Actually, only 6 of them ended up interviewing. One of them withdrew at the last or the same day of the interviews. So we have a candidate that we are moving forward within our HR department here at the city. We're hoping that that person will be on board sometime in July. I will have that person come to the CHAC in September, introduce you to that person. And then, because we have several new members on the committee, I would like that person to provide you with a very comprehensive overview of how the program got started, the studies that were done, the traffic studies that were done in 2007 and 2008, and then the supplemental studies that have been done over the years to continue to validate the need for the program. And then where we see the program going in the future, because one of the things that has become very clear is that the program has been very successful. We have been able to reduce traffic congestion at several school sites and along several collector roadways in South San Ramon. But as the city of San Ramon has grown, particularly in the east part of the city, out in the Derby Valley, the demand for service in that area has increased. And so one of the things that the Traffic's Board is looking at in the future is where and how do we expand the program with the limited resources that we have. The program is funded by the half-cent sales tax. We only get a certain amount every year, and then we also rely on parent contributions. So this person will come to you in September. I'll introduce you. They will give you an overview and an update on the program, and then we'll provide you with a comprehensive background. What I really wanted to do this evening was let you know that the transition from this contract position and bringing it in-house with the city of San Ramon, that has transpired, it's taking place, and we hope to have this person on board in July. It's moving. It's progressing through our HR department.
Thank you. Okay. So the candidate is pretty much known now?
Yes. Yes, there has been a conditional offer. We're just going through, because this position is a limited term employee, there is an employment agreement that must be signed. So that's the process that we're going through now. It's not a long-term permanent employee such as Amy, Debbie, and myself. It is a limited term, and it's all based on funding from Measure J. Now, if Measure J funding for some reason goes away, that position and the program actually goes away as well.
So it's dependent on funding from
Measure J.
Future?
From Measure J. Measure J is in place until 2034. Hopefully in the next few years they will look at renewing that measure. They had a ballot. You know, there was an initiative on the ballot in, 2016? And it was Measure X. It did not pass. And so the Transportation Authority is considering putting another ballot measure probably in 2020. That hasn't been finalized, but the preliminary discussions, Joy, you probably hear this when you're at the Transportation Authority, but the preliminary discussions are 2020 or 2021. But I will have this person provide you with that update in September.
When is the most recent study of the necessity of using the school bus? When is the most recent study of this? The traffic study that was done?
The most recent one was done in 2014. And so what the study did in 2014 was compare the data from 2008 to look at those intersections were operating that level of service F. I'm going to start sounding like a traffic engineer, but Joy and Atul will understand what I'm saying. So level of service F means that the intersection is operating at unacceptable levels of service. So what we've seen with the traffic service at those intersections now, they've gone from level of service F to C and B, which is actually really good. But the level of service at the Dodery Valley intersections, it's interesting because they're not operating at those unacceptable levels of service. They're actually operating at levels of service B and C. And we think a lot of that is because the grid and the network in Dodery Valley, you have four-lane collector roadways, you have traffic signals. We're in South Santa Mound. That grid network that was developed in the late 60s, early 70s, you have two-lane roadways, no traffic signals, and you have these neighborhood schools that were built as neighborhood schools where you kids would walk and ride their bikes to school, not everybody being driven to school at the same time. So, you know, when South San Ramon was developed, it was 45, 50 years ago, and that whole grid system is much different than what was developed in the Dodery Valley area. But to your point, you know, there is some justification to expand traffic service in the Dodery Valley. The strategy is going to be is how you provide that service in the Dodery Valley with the limited amount of funding that we have today, or using those assets that we have today and tearing those buses out to the Dodery Valley from the school sites that we have in South Santa Mount. One bus is about $140,000 a year, which is very expensive. And the buses, elementary school buses, hold about 72 kids. So you divide that by 72, and if you paid the full price, you're paying close to $1,000. I mean, it's very, very expensive, maybe even more. So there, you know, the buses are heavily subsidized with Measure J. And so one of the things that Traffic's Board will be looking at in the future is also the consideration of increasing the annual prices or for the school bus passes.
Do you know these buses are full capacity utilized?
Yeah, the majority of them are. The buses going to Monta Vista, those are all full, at full capacity. Santa Ramon, Pine Valley routes, we have four routes at Pine Valley that are at full capacity. We have some capacity at Neil Armstrong and Walt Disney. The Coyote Creek, the two routes at Coyote Creek, are one is completely full. The new one that's starting this year, you know, as of last week, it's got about 50% of the seats sold. The buses at Los Cerros, just about all of them at Los Cerros and Danville are full. So there's obviously a need. So we will have this person come in September with that comprehensive update for you.
Thank you.
You're
Any
welcome.
Other questions, comments? All right, moving along. Item 4.3, Transit Shelter Subcommittee Update. So Al, Atul, and me are sitting on the subcommittee, so anyone of you want to give an update?
I came a little late, but I can give my 2 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's the decided on two different options that was decided by the council, is that right?
The policy committee.
Okay.
So it's $100,000 to spend that they're going out to take a look at how much it's going to cost in different locations, and the locations are kind of something we talked about earlier today.
Right, so they got six locations that they've identified, all up and down Bollinger Canyon Road. They haven't nailed down exactly where those six will be yet, but we provided some input on which choices they should be. They're kind of focusing on ones that have bus pads already. so that the $100,000 can go a long way.
Yeah. So
we're going to check to make sure there's not one in front of you two houses.
Well, got in front of O'Toole's house. There's a big old shelter in front of O'Toole's house.
The one with the
seats. Yeah.
TV
in the
corner.
Yeah, one of the considerations was the ridership, right? That's what we discussed. And look at the ridership and the where has the most riders. That's probably make most sense to put a shelter.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it before. There's going to be a shelter, I guess, at the city center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the funds are coming from County Connection. So County Connection has funding available to cities within their service district. And so San Ramon has been awarded $100,000. So what we're trying to do is get sort of the biggest bang for our buck, is get as many shelters as we can with, you know, the least amount of improvements around each shelter. I think at one location at Derby Valley, mm-hmm. Because there's that grade at Derby Valley, yeah. That hill, we would have to encroach into that landscaping. There'd be a lot of work mm-hmm. that would need to be done yeah. to install a shelter at that location. So that would cost money. So I think what Darlene is articulating to the subcommittee is that we want to go to these locations where we don't have that much, you know, infrastructure improvements that would need to be made, so that $100,000 can go further and get us more shelters.
Are you talking about Derby Valley with the colleges?
No, the Derby Valley High School. The college has a pad. In front of the college, there's a pad that's already there. So I think that's one of the locations.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's
we asked actually if we could find out how much that would be for Derby Valley, because mm-hmm. we seem like that. I think we all three thought that that's a good site to have.
Yeah.
At Derby Valley
so
High School.
So many people that are
high
using it.
Right.
So we're trying to go ahead and impress some people to use the buses, and that would be kind of nice to have that pad there so that. High school,
saturated.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know a lot of kids?
There are a lot of riders at the high school.
Ridership is pretty high.
That's one of the higher boardings.
How about the college?
The college has, it's not one of their highest, but they do have a lot of boardings. But what we do find with the college is the way the route, it meanders along Windermere Parkway during midday. And so there's a lot of ridership midday along the Windermere Parkway. In fact, those residents have been very vocal in advocating for more transit from County Connection mm-hmm. Along that corridor. So,
and that route goes all the way down to Mark. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's a different
35.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So are we going to get one?
A transit shelter? I don't know if there's one on. Is there near the senior center?
I think we went that way.
I don't think the 35 goes.
Yeah,
it's just
so you have to have the County Connection bus stop before you can get the shelter.
Yeah, so I think mm-hmm. Susan, Route 35 does not go near the senior center, and so they're focusing on where Route 35 provides service today. But to your point, we are meeting tomorrow actually with Becky Adams at the senior center to talk about senior center service and some other type of programs for seniors. You're welcome to join us. It's tomorrow.
Well, it depends. Let's see what
Okay.
said.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I wasn't sure about if different types of shelters that you're looking at has one type of shelter to be selected, or it's going to be all different shelters.
Possibly these.
So the two are
going to be consistent for all locations.
For every three of the advertising, you have to have one of the ones that you want to advertise.
So
it'll be fairly consistent if you use. Yeah. I don't know if you use.
Yeah, I don't think they've gotten that far down the road of choice yet. But more than likely, they're trying to focus on the ones that have the advertising look to it along Bollinger Canyon, given that it's heavily traveled and get most people to see it. So I think it'll likely be five that will have the advertisement and then one that wouldn't. So we were discussing that maybe the one that shouldn't have it is near the high school, so that there's no potential vandalism.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all right.
Okay. What are the next steps?
So Darlene was going to go back and I guess get some more data.
Right, with the sites that we're looking at, they have to send these people, they don't even know how much it's going to cost you from location, so just going to go out there and get the estimates from them.
Okay.
And then I kind of asked if other cities around here have used them, and she said, well, Creek has, so maybe go out there and reach out, see how much they cost, get some ideas, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So then would the TAC like an update in the future on where we are with the progress with the subcommittee? And
Yeah, I think so.
And certainly talk to Darlene, and as we get, you know, progressing the next steps, we can come back with an update.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll still decide on the next meeting time, right?
Okay. So, yeah. Great. I appreciate the three of you on the subcommittee.
Sure.
All right, move on to item number 5, unfinished business, 5.1, active residential traffic calming program.
Okay, yes, well, PJ is not here this evening, so I will provide you with the update. In your packet, the active residential traffic calming update for this month is actually not really local residential traffic calming. It's actually a situation that we have taking place at the Bollinger Park and Ride lot. But it is impacting some neighborhoods along the Bollinger, near Bollinger Elementary School and near Memorial Park. So for those of you who commute out of the city on a regular basis, you may notice that the Bollinger Park and Ride lot off I-680 by 6:30, 7 in the morning is completely filled. So that's the good news, right? I mean, people are commuting, by, you know, they're carpooling, vanpooling, and so they're using the Park and Ride lot, which is the whole intent of that lot. The bad news is, by 7 o'clock in the morning, it's at full capacity. So what people, what commuters are doing is they're using the shops adjacent to it to park in that parking area or that parking lot. And then we have some high-tech companies who have these nice, luxurious buses that are picking up residents and passengers. And those individuals are using Memorial Park. And they're catching the bus along Santa Monica Valley Boulevard. So if you're a park patron in the afternoon and you get to the park about 1 o'clock, it's only filled up by maybe 20, 25 vehicles that are parking there for commuters. And so we met with Caltrans this past week because the actual lot is owned by Caltrans. So the city, the Contra Costa Transportation Authority, MTC, or the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. We met with Caltrans this past Tuesday. We talked about a number of different options that we can pursue to help expand that parking lot. And so those discussions, we have another meeting in September, but in the meantime, some of the things that are being looked at is whether or not that lot can be expanded. Caltrans does own some of the land south of that lot, so they're studying whether or not they can expand the lot and into that area. We're also looking at adding e-bikes or e-lockers and bike racks and bike lockers on the lot. You'll see some of the photos there. There is some capacity to add some bike lockers so people can ride their bike to the lot rather than driving. We're looking at conducting a parking analysis in that parking lot. There's a lot of firms that are out there that do parking studies that can look at whether or not we can restripe that lot and repave it and redo the parking, so to try to get more parking spaces in the lot. We're also, you'll see some of the photos, there are cars that are parking in the curbs and the end curbs, which, you know, if you drive in that lot and you're in a large car, you know, it becomes very, very tight to get around some of those areas where people are parking. So the good news is that Caltrans was very receptive to talking about some options. In fact, they're, you know, then they use this term, we need to start thinking outside of the box. We need to start looking at other options that are available. And so MTC is rolling out a parking program along the I-880 corridor. This is to get people to meet at a park and ride lot before they get on the Bay Bridge, so you can get across the Bay Bridge with three or more passengers. And so one of the things they're doing, I'm not advocating this, this is just info for you, but one of the things that MTC is going to do is a demo program where these two new park and ride lots along the I-880 corridor, they're going to charge for parking, similar to what BART is doing, charging for parking. And then they're using that money to hire a parking company to manage the parking at those lots. So it's a demo. They're going to roll it out later this summer, early fall. It's something that we're definitely interested in looking at the outcome. Does it deter people from using it if you have to pay? Or, you know, you've got to meet your carpool or van pool, so you're going to have to park somewhere. So we'll be watching what happens with that. We are also, the Transportation Authority was at this meeting as well, and they were there because the authority, and all of you heard the presentation by Tim Hale a few months ago on Innovate 680. And so Innovate 680, we're going to start moving forward with that study for the I-680 corridor. And part of that study is going to look at where we can add additional park and ride lots along the corridor. And so there are some great ideas exchanged at this meeting. Everybody has sort of different areas that they're going to take the lead on to do some research. We're all going to get back together in September, provide some updates on where we are. In the meantime, we're hoping to at least get this parking study or this analysis done to see if we can squeeze in some additional parking. And then also, these high-tech companies are also looking at other possibilities for their employees to catch the bus. Because it's not, obviously it's not working at Memorial Park. While we think it's great that these, you know, these individuals are riding the buses, they're taking parking spaces at a park that's not to be used as a park and ride lot. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening. Likely maybe October we'll come back with an update after our meeting in September with Caltrans.
The adjacent shopping center, is it full of this Clementine's restaurant?
Yes, that's it. And, you know, some of those businesses on the northern end of that shopping center near the Chevron gas station, they're not open at 7 in the morning, but there's all these cars there. So if you drive, if you get there at 10 o'clock, there's not a lot of parking. I think what helps that shopping center today is that Chevy's is no longer there, and they have a lot of empty spaces at the back, so people can still find parking when they are going to some of their shops in that area.
So I've been to the mayor's breakfast a few times. I didn't notice a hard time having parking.
That's good.
Was it just lucky?
I don't know. I mean, I've been, the last time I was at the mayor's breakfast, I parked at the very southern end, and so where Chevy's is, there's parking there. But if you're at the northern end of that lot, it's full.
Is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that part is full.
And also, overflow goes to the Memorial Park on the other side.
Yes.
I have an out-of-the-box suggestion.
Oh, good.
How about going up?
Oh.
You have them all over New York. You have them all over L.A. My son works for a company that does that. And I'm telling you, you can put three cars up.
Yeah.
And they're there for a while. It's not like they're moving in and out, going to a shopping center.
Right. But you need that parking structure. I think it's a great idea. It's probably it's
something to look at, and you know, built some trees around it, so it doesn't look.
Is that what Barnes Building in West Dublin? Next to the freeway?
I don't know. I've seen that.
I see a big, ugly structure going up. Parking.
Yeah, what Al's referring to, yeah, and all over New York, they have that, these parking garages, but then you go in and they pile three cars on top. There's a machine, and you roll your car into this machine, and then they can park three cars.
You see that
now
a lot.
Do you?
Okay. Something where it does serve a purpose. Mm.
Because that area doesn't have a lot of land.
No.
Right. And even if it's a matter of the area in the south, maybe you build a new area there for that. It's kind of hidden more, you know, see the
people here. Just want to make sure it doesn't look obscure of lovely hills.
Yeah.
Pride works in the company. That's for Robert Pacheco. No, that is one company. There's other companies too, but it just it seems like it's something that's possible.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right, well, moving along. Item number 6, committee member items. 6.1, committee member items. Anything you guys want to bring up? Any committee member items? Yeah. All right, so.
I was late for the meeting, but is Billy or?
Bill Hurley, yes, Billy Hurley. He's a new tech member. He's not here, he's out of town, but he'll be here next month.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. Here's a question. Have we seen any increased citations on Doherty Road, the new 50-mile-an-hour one?
Good question. I don't know. I can check with PD. Yeah, because, I mean, that's a posted valid speed limit now, so I can certainly check with PD. You're talking about the new section of Doherty Road, the southern where the new speeding limit.
Right, okay. To Bollinger.
Right. We'll have that for you next month, though.
Oh, thanks.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, 6.2, City Council liaison item is not here. 6.3, Planning Commission liaison is not here. 6.4, Senior Advisory Committee liaison items. Okay, Teen Council liaison items, not here.
Do you still have a Teen Council liaison?
Oh, we still have.
We still have them, but we usually don't see them during the summertime.
Okay, that's true. Right? I haven't seen you before summertime.
But I will check with Jen Galt, right? Yeah. They usually change every school year. Mm-hmm.
Do they get credits for them or something?
I believe so.
Satisfied by some kind of requirement.
Yeah.
All right. With that, I will adjourn the meeting.